There's a lot I could say here. I always carry on a lot of foolishness, but when I was saved at 14 years old, I became a member of this church and was baptized. I was saved right down there. And that same place can save the whole world if they'd just bow in the name of Jesus and be saved. Now, and then somewhere or another, I don't remember the first time that I ever met Brother Jerry. I don't remember. Do you remember? Yeah. But it just seemed he took me under his wing. And I was trouble for him. I mean, really, 14, 15, I saved 14 and started preaching when I was 15. Met Brother Jerry, worked with him, and he gave me, you know, I was working in the woods with a logging crew when I was 15 years old. And if I had stayed in that crew, I probably wouldn't be here right now. But I got saved, and they'd make fun of me. I'd bring my Bible to eat lunch, and some of them made fun of me, but that didn't bother me. But anyway, I'm just thinking that, and I believe Jerry and J.M. Chick, I believe they might have saw that you know, they give me some work. They won't let me go to work with them, and then I was working with Christians. And I want to thank God for that. And Jerry and Brenda, I would eat supper at my house and go eat supper at their house. I ate two suppers. And I stayed up late and I wouldn't leave. If I was Jerry and Jerry was me, I'd say, "Hey, buddy, it's bedtime." But I worried him to death, and I still worry him. But God bless you, Brother Jerry. Come on. Amen.
Well, you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28.
We'll read verse 18 through the rest of the chapter. But while you turn to that, I was telling Joseph before the priest, I said, "You boys need to leave me a little bit to preach." Amen. And I think all they've left me is the mouths. But we're going to try to do what we can. I'm sure preaching of the family coming down from Georgia, Peggy Dennis, and there are folks coming over from Calhoun County, some of them Calhoun County, some of them over here in Etowah. But it's good to see you folks tonight, and all the folks of Welcome Baptist Church. I tell you, this church has a place in my heart. It's where I started serving God. I didn't get saved here, but I did start serving God right here in this church. And I remember some great pastors, Brother Robert Patterson, Brother Phillips. Y'all remember Brother Phillips? I don't know if he's still living or not. But Brother Fred Russell that you had last Sunday, Brother Ray Hill, Brother Aubrey Brown, and then there was another two, and then Brother Roger, some great preachers, and they've all been friends of mine. And I tell you, and all my, we got a lot of kin folks too in this church. A lot of kin folks are friends, but most of them kin folk, to be honest with you. And so, hard to preach to your kin folks, you know that? Why? Because you know too much about them. Well, all my kin folks come in this morning. I said, "Good, I got a lot to preach now." Amen. But anyway, y'all know Guy's a deacon, don't you? Guy is a deacon of a church over in Social Circle, isn't it? And the Lord's really blessed him. And he's over being deacon of a pastor now. I guess you're trying to keep him straight. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's good to be here today. And y'all pray for me. Makes me a little nervous, all my family being around and all my friends. But we're going to try to do the best we can. We want to preach on why I want to be involved in missions. And this is a verses here that I've heard many messages on, and I'm sure you have too. Just simple truth. Let me see what time it is. I don't want to preach too long. I'm going to try to preach till... Well, I'm going to try to preach till I'm on Georgia time. I'm going to try to preach till 10 minutes later, 12. I may not make it that long, but you count it. Somebody keep up with me. Raise your hand when I get to 10 minutes later, 12. I'm just going to preach. I know I ain't not going to preach the whole message. We'll preach what God lets us preach. Anyway, Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow and pray with me, if you would, that God would help us this morning in the Word of God. Father, we do thank you for these messages we've heard from Brother Chabello, and Lord, all of so from Brother James and Joseph. And I pray, Father, that you'll bless their ministry. And I pray, Father, you give them power in preaching, and you'll just keep them, keeping their nose clean and right in the work of the ministry. I pray, Father, this morning that you'd help us. I pray that you'd give us understanding of the scriptures. I pray that you'd give us illumination of exactly what we need to say. And I pray that you'd be lifted up. As James said a while ago, if we can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So I pray that you'll be lifted up this morning. I pray that you'll be glorified and magnified. And if we can do that, and God will be satisfied, maybe some sinner will come to know you as Lord and the Savior. For we do pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about, as I said, why I want to be involved in missions. I've been in been a missionary now for since 1995. I was really a missionary before then. If you're out trying to get folks saved, trying to do the work of God, you're involved in the work of mission. Somebody asked me, said, what does a missionary do? When I was going to the mission field, going to Mexico, and I said, the same thing we do here. We try to get folks saved. We try to get them baptized, and we try to get them stabilized. And that's what the work of missions is all about, is getting folks saved, getting them baptized, and getting them stabilized in the work of God. Just trying to get them where they can repeat what you're doing. Amen? And so the work of mission, I want to be involved in the work of mission. But I remember when God called me to Mexico, I lived in Loganville, Georgia, and I was eating lunch at a little restaurant out there, and some men were eating with us. And I made a statement to them that I was going to Mexico as a missionary. And this one guy there, he went to a missionary Baptist church. But when I told him I was going to go to Mexico to be a missionary, he said, why you want to do that? I said, because God's called me to go to Mexico. And he said, well, don't they have preachers in Mexico? I said, they sure do, but they don't have as many as we do. And I said, somebody brought the gospel to the United States. It didn't originate here. It originated over yonder, and somebody brought it over to us. And since somebody brought it over to us, we ought to have a burden to carry to others. And there's a lot of places. You know, if you think about it, if I can get these statistics right, they say 92% of the people live in other parts of the world, 8% live in America. But 92% of the preachers are in America. And 8% are trying to preach to the whole world. And I don't believe that's God's math, do you? I don't believe God distributes. I think sometimes we need to make sure where God's calling us. As somebody said, be in our place. And that place is where God places us. You know, just seeing the need and knowing the need does not constitute the call. Because I see the need everywhere, but I can't be everywhere. But God's got a place for you. And God's got a call for your life. And wherever that place is, if it's at Welcome Baptist Church, or if it's across the county, if it's across the state, or if it's across the United States, or if it's across the sea, that's where we need to be. And so I want to be involved in missions. And I want to be involved. You say, why do you want to be involved in missions? Well, I want to be involved in missions because that's what God's involved in. The very heart of God. And Joseph was just talking about the heart of God. And I'm going to tell you the heart of God today. If you want to be in the heart of God, you need to be involved in the work of missions. God is involved in getting folks saved. God is involved in getting folks saved, getting folks baptized, and getting folks stabilized in the work of God. That's the work of missions in a nutshell. Well, let me say this. The heart of God, I may not get out of the introduction this morning, but the heart of God is in mission. God is involved in every soul that gets saved. God is involved in it. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter number 6. If you have your Bible, John chapter number 6, a great chapter in the Word of God. But in John chapter number 6 and verse number 44, I want to show you the work of God, that God is involved in every person that gets saved. Not one person ever gets saved that God's not involved in his life. And it said in verse 44, it said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Now notice the first part of that search, and I heard a preacher, not really a friend of mine, but an acquaintance on the internet the other day with a little clip, and he was preaching on this verse, and said, you've heard the saying, there's a statement or a rule, and then there's always sometimes an exception to that rule. Sometimes you got an ironclad rule, but sometimes you'll find that they make an exception to it. And that's what we have right here. If you notice the first part of this verse, Jesus said, no man can come to me. No, that's a statement. That's a rule.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, no man can come to me except, he's making an exception. You can't come to God but one way, and that's through that exception. And that exception is that the Father draw you. Before you ever get saved, God will be drawing you. He'll be pulling you. He'll be speaking to you. I'm saying that God's involved in every person that gets saved in the world or has been saved. God has been involved in his salvation. You know the greatest task God ever in, the greatest task that God's involved in has been the salvation of man. You say, what about the creation of the world? He spoke it all into existence.
Amen.
But with the salvation of man, he couldn't speak it into existence. His justice had to be satisfied. His righteousness had to be satisfied. And so God, think about this. He's involved in our salvation. He's been involved in it. The length of the time he's been involved in it goes way back to the eternal council. The Bible talks about that eternal council way back before our mind can't even comprehend when that beginning was. Eternity. And in that eternity, there was an eternal council of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they, in that council, mapped out our salvation. Before, think about this. Before man was ever born, before man was ever created, and God knew he would fall, and God went ahead and made provisions for his salvation. So God's been involved in this salvation business for a long, long time. Not only when you think about the enormous task it is for God to be involved in it, but think about the enormous price he paid. It didn't cost him nothing. You know, when he spoke the world into existence, he just spoke it into existence. But it cost him something for salvation. It cost him the death of his son. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ his death. But he willingly came. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us. He didn't sit up in heaven and say, I love you, and do nothing about it. He loved us, and he sent his Son to die for us. And the Son came and gave his life for us. So we see God involved in our salvation. I want to look real quickly. Not only was God the Father involved in our salvation, but the entire Godhead was involved in our salvation. It was the eternal Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that had that council. Well, I'd love to have been at that council, wouldn't you? I'd love to have heard that discussion. Well, there's no schism in the Godhead. They was all in agreement. But they mapped out our salvation. You know, I read an article years ago. I clipped it out. Still got it by Dr. Anderson. He was a guy that would write an editorial every once in a while for the Gadsden Times, way back probably in the 70s, and it was around Christmas time. And he was trying to explain why God sent Jesus to die. And he said, God sent the law, or gave him the law, and it didn't work. God sent the prophets, and they didn't accept Jesus Christ. And he said, God was trying to show his love in the law, trying to show his love through the prophets, but man would not receive the love of God. He said, finally, in desperation, God sent his son. This is Christmas time. You know how folks get religious at Christmas time. He said, God, in desperation, sent his son. I'm going to tell you something. God has never been desperate. God's always been in control. And God knew that salvation worked. He knew that the cross would work. He knew that what Jesus did would work long before Jesus ever came. He knew that when he came and died and men would kneel at the feet of Jesus and call upon him, he knew they'd be saved and they'd know the love of God. And so Dr. Anderson was wrong. So God's never surprised, and God's always in control. So God the Father, we see God the Father here. Drawing. Jesus said he can't come unless he draws you, unless he pulls you, unless he gives you a desire. You know, in this flesh, you'd never have a desire to be saved. And I'm glad God drawed me one day.
Amen.
I was just a young married fella up in Atlanta, Georgia, 25 years old, with a beautiful wife, hadn't been married long, and I thought I had everything going my way till God sent a little mountain boy down from the mountains of North Georgia, from Waleska, Georgia, and began to talk to me about the Lord and show me that I didn't have it made, that I needed Jesus. Amen. And God began to draw me. God began to show me. God began to give me a desire to be saved. All of that comes from God. Now notice, not only do we see the work of the Father in salvation, but notice John chapter number 16. We see the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. John chapter number 16, verse number 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, he's going to do. And when he has come, he will repeat the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, and now the Father draws. Holy Spirit brings conviction. He reproved men of their sin. You know, some people say it's no use preaching to lost people about their sin. Yes, the Holy Spirit takes that sin and convict a man of sin to bring him to Christ. Everybody needs the preaching of the Word of God. Everybody needs the preaching on sin. But we need to, but we always want to end up the right way. But he said here, the Holy Spirit, he brings this conviction. And so when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But then notice what he said, of sin, because they believe not on. You know, the greatest sin to ever be is. I'm just neutral. I have accepted Christ, but I'm not against it. But it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you're not for me, you're against me. I'm going to tell you, if you had the privilege to receive Jesus and you haven't received him, the Bible says you've got a heart of, that you've got an evil heart of unbelief. It's evil. It's wicked to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he's going to prove you. Do not believe on me. The sin that takes you to hell is refusing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All these other sins are bad, but the damning sin, one of the things which you hell, is you just will not believe in Jesus. You just will not trust him as your Savior. The only way to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got saved, I had prayed, and now I forget at least 45 minutes before I finally stopped, and friend over there that talked to me, witnessed to me about the Lord, said, "Jerry, can't you just believe on God? Can't you just believe?" About 4 or 5 words. And it's like God spoke to me, said, "Listen, all this praying, that's good. But just, you're praying, but you're not believing. Hey, you're wailing and all this kind of stuff, but you're not believing. You've got to believe on God." And it seemed as if God spoke to me in that instant. And said, "Son, if you'll just get up of you and believe me, I'll believe on me and confess me as your Savior, it'll be done." I got up, said, "I'll take the means of trust as my Lord and Savior." And I'm going to tell you that was 1968, and I've been saved ever since. Hey, the people don't understand what I'm saying, Doctor. Really, I had to get it for you. Because I was praying the wrong way. I was praying trying to pray my way in. You don't pray your way in. But God spoke to me and said, "Listen, I'm going to pray a sign. Lord, he prayed. But now you've got to turn from." The Father said, "Then turn from." Well, I had to turn from my praying and believe him in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to pay you to do that on the booth. And then third, in that chapter,
John chapter 9. John chapter number. Father and Father give it to me, to our country. And him that cometh to me, I will throw out chastise. Now remember one thing. The Word of God, all of the Word of God is inspired. And including the punctuation mark. And I want you to notice in this verse, the first part of it, he says, all that Father hath given me cometh to me, or shall come to me. Pretty strong statement. But notice a little semicolon there. When you see that little semicolon, that means God's going to give you some more explanation. God's going to give you some more information about what he just said right before. And so he put that semicolon there. And he said, and he started, and you might say, well, how can I know that I'm part of that God's given, that Jesus said God's going to give to me? Well, looking at the latter part of verse, it explains how you can know you are. Him that cometh to me, I will know why I cast that. I'm going to tell you that's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit the Father will draw, and the Holy Spirit will convict, but you've got to come to Jesus. And he said, he that cometh to me, I will know what cast out. He makes up a problem. Now, I believe in whosoever comes. I don't understand. Now, I believe in Bible election, so I don't believe in any Calvinistic in that. Where God made one man for heaven and another man for hell. I'm going to tell you, if you come to Jesus, you can be saved. I'm a whosoever preacher. First of all, he said, listen, me and God's got something going together. But if you want to be part of that, you got to come to me and believe upon me. And if you come to me, I will not catch you. If you come to Jesus before me, you have a problem. He will not catch you out. If you come, you can be saved. If you come believing, you can be saved. Well, that's my message. That's part of my preaching. But anyway, that's part I can get from my self-imposed limitation. So go ahead and get us first of what are you going to do. Thank you for your attention.